Hello, everyone. Sorry for the delay. Zoom updated today and all their screens and instructions changed. I was like, what am I doing here? All right. So we are going to get started. Glad to see everyone here tonight. This is kind of an exciting topic. I'm super excited about it anyway. So let's see. I'm going to get everything rolling here. So I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to pop out the chat. Well, I thought I was going to pop out the chat. Hang on. Let's try this again. Oh, well, thank you. I'm trying to figure out all the technology. Okay. So let's see if that works. Sharing the screen. Here we go. Chat. Stop video. All right. Now we can get started. So tonight, you're at the Queen's Club Masterclass. Here's how this is going to roll. I have a little bit of a presentation to give, a little bit of a teaching moment. So we'll go through my little keynote here, kind of proud of. Then there'll be some places where you can ask questions. I might even ask you some questions in the chat. So get it fired up if you want to have a little participation during the masterclass. And then we'll coach a little bit at the end of the class. If you have specific questions or want coaching on discomfort and disappointment. So that's what we're talking about tonight, how to use discomfort and disappointment as positive feelings, okay? So I've been playing with this idea a lot lately, that these two feelings don't have to be bad things. We often use them in the feelings line of the unintentional model, right? But I'm wondering if considering them negative or unintentional is really just a thought. So let's think about this. What if discomfort was actually empowering? What if disappointment was actually the key to knowing that we can improve and refocus? Neither one of these things has to lead to a beatdown unless we let it. So tonight I want to talk a little more in depth about how we can use these two feelings to motivate us. Maybe even they can be something we want to feel, and we can use them as indicators that we're on the right track or even finding a little bit of success. Everybody can see my keynote, right? What you will learn. Discomfort can show you you're headed in the right direction. Disappointment can lead to learning and leveling up. And self-judgment, which we're going to talk about at the very end, is a choice. So discomfort is defined as mental or physical uneasiness. It's that little bit of doubt in the back of your mind, right? So when you think about feeling discomfort, what do you think? What are you thinking? How does it feel to you? Okay, so post in the chat. Does discomfort feel awful, terrible, hard, uncomfortable, distracting? You know, when you're sitting in discomfort, what does that mean to you? How do you feel? Anybody? Scary and unsure, want to change it. Angry, unsettled, confused, stressed, right? Those are all negative. Uncomfortable and in doubt, yeah. Feels hard. Wanda says it feels hard, uneasy, right? So we always associate discomfort with something uncomfortable, terrible, intolerable, right? Where are some of the places in your life that you already feel discomfort? Think about this now, okay? How many of you have traffic on your commute to and from work? Is that fun? Or do you sit in discomfort while you're sitting in traffic? You have arguments with loved ones. Maybe you are physically uncomfortable like you have an upset stomach or you have a bathroom problem, right? When things don't go your way at the doctor's office, you practice discomfort every single day, right? Pressing work deadlines. Sometimes we even invite discomfort. You know, how many of you on this call have trained for a race, like a half marathon, right? Wanda says exercising and pushing herself out of her comfort zone. Sometimes we do it on purpose. We invite discomfort when we take a new job, when we get on a coaching call, right? We know that's not going to be all kinds of fun and roses and daisies, right? So it's interesting to me to think about how we think discomfort is intolerable, yet we invite it. There are times in our lives when we're experiencing it on purpose, right? And we handle it. My husband, Ken, can tell you, I wake up every single day and my first thought is, how will I get everything done today? It's indulgent. It's overwhelm laced with confusion in my world. I'm not that girl who wakes up happy. I wake up uncomfortable every single day and my brain goes straight to doomsday. But I sit there for a moment and I say, this is my pattern. This is what I do. I don't have to stay here. So I take that as a message that I'm getting up right and I move on with it. So we all handle other forms of discomfort every single day. But we don't like discomfort around food. Isn't that interesting? So here's some of the thoughts you might think about food. Hunger makes me nervous. Food urges seem intolerable. I don't want to get too hungry. Right? What other kinds of food-related discomfort thoughts do you have? If I get too hungry, I'll get cranky, right? Yeah. I get angry because I don't want to want it. Yeah. Fear of missing out. I think it's because we like food. So see how interesting it is that we handle discomfort every single day, yet we think it's terrible when it comes to food. I just find that fascinating. So here's where we are. Most of us think discomfort as a feeling is negative. So here's a model that I came up with. Last week's Gift of Fat Challenge, no eating after dinner. Your thought might have been, oh my gosh, this is so hard. The feeling is discomfort. And the action might be to whine, cry, complain, fight, resist, eat anyway. And the result is you made it hard on yourself. So, but what if we use discomfort in this model as an indicator that we're doing something right? Okay. So if you look at this model and you didn't eat, you fought, you resisted, you complained, you cried, whatever, but you didn't eat, weren't you successful in the challenge? If you're willing to sit with discomfort, you can use it as that. You can use that as a way to create positive results. Even though it's a negative feeling, we can put it in the intentional model where we fully intend to embrace discomfort in an effort to make our goals. It makes discomfort something that's doable, even desired, something that you can learn from and is okay to feel. It takes the yuckiness out of discomfort and makes it something you want to feel because you know you're getting closer to your goals. So look at this model. Again, last week's Gift of Fat Challenge, I'm willing to sit through this discomfort or urge to eat because I know it will get me closer to my goals. The feeling is resolved. The action is allow it to be there without judging it. And the result is to show myself I can do amazing things. Isn't that interesting, right? We can attach thoughts to discomfort that are actually productive thoughts rather than deprivation or restriction. So last week, I made a commitment to myself that I would not have an afternoon snack. Some days that's fine. Other days it's hard. At least that's what I told myself. But every time I got hungry, it wasn't dinner time, and it wasn't dinner time yet. I told myself, this is how I make weight loss easy. This is how I honor my commitment to myself. This is how I train my body to not need snacks. This is the gift I'm giving Corinne this week. Then I assess. Did I have enough fat at lunchtime? Is there something I can change without overeating to make this work even better? I also got to assess whether my afternoon snack was physical hunger or just a lull in the afternoon, I want a snack to liven up my life hunger, right? And I watch my hunger. It ebbs and flows. I looked at the entire picture with curiosity, knowing that the final result is going to be exactly what I want it to be. And I showed myself that I could do discomfort and make it mean that I am doing something good for myself, not something that is depriving or demeaning or punishing, right? It's the same thing with saying no thank you to the donut at work or the beer at happy hour. It's the same thing when you leave three bites and you really want to finish. You find those thoughts that make discomfort seem like a gift you are giving yourself rather than a punishment for your weight. Isn't that interesting? I just think that's totally cool. Okay, next slide. So here's how we're going to bring this all together. That mindset is everything when it comes to keeping your commitment to yourself and following your plan. So at the top, we have our unintentional model. This time I used, I'm at plus two and have food left, because that leads to discomfort for a lot of folks. The thought is, I really want to eat that. And the feeling is discomfort. So what if we pause the model there and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that go to the action line. I'm going to instead replace the thought and start a new model. And the new model is, I want to eat the rest, but I'm not going to because I'm committed to my weight loss efforts. You could have said, I want to eat the rest, but I'm willing to sit with this discomfort to commit to my weight loss efforts. And again, we're at resolved. I love the feeling of resolved, right? It's so empowering. The action is to leave the bites behind, follow the plan, TDL on the success. You always want to TDL your successes, y'all. Assess, and the result is that you kept your commitment. The first model, right, the one that we paused, it feels hard. Resisting the plus two, coming up with all kinds of reasons to eat, making excuses, preparing for the mental beatdown. But when you pause at discomfort and allow it to be there, with the food sitting on your plate, you can access a new thought that leads to a better feeling because you felt the discomfort and you are okay with it. Because you know that discomfort is part of the process. It's the currency you're willing to pay to get the results on the scale. Just like Judy said, what about making it a gift to ourselves? That's right. That's right. Lindsay said, discomfort is the currency to achieving dreams. Right. So feeling that discomfort then becomes the doable, desired part of the process. If you give in, you're off plan. You've overeaten. If you sit with it and allow it to be there and don't react, you've used discomfort as part of the process of losing weight. Pretty slick, right? All right. So what are some of the ways you guys can use discomfort, embrace it even, as part of your weight loss? Put some stuff in the comments for me. For me, it's taking time to exercise. It's watching Ken have a beer with dinner and me saying no. It's eating a salad when we go out instead of the homemade chips that I love. You know, what are some of the ways that you can sit in discomfort? Going to the movies with no popcorn, that's a good one. Anybody else? Don't panic when it comes, right? Feel the power of using the discomfort. Oh, yes, absolutely. Not finishing the Mexican food. Yeah, the chips and salsa on the table, right? That's a good one. All right. Next, we're going to talk about disappointment. Disappointment comes up when your needs, wishes, or expectations don't get met. You hope for one thing and end up with another. or with less than what you wanted. For the purposes of this class, we'll talk about how we experience disappointment in ourselves. Examples might be setting a weight loss goal of 5 pounds for the month and achieving 3. Or creating what you thought was a realistic plan, but you ate off plan. Although disappointment doesn't feel great, it can provide you with some good information about yourself. It's like the first step in the assessment process. You realize you didn't hit your goal for the week. You feel a little disappointed. Then you get to work to find your levels up, your 1%. Disappointment's real purpose is to keep you moving forward and toward what's beneficial and away from what's not. It's meant to teach you how to make realistic choices by recognizing the balance between what you have power over and what you don't. Disappointment still allows you to examine what you're doing with honesty and integrity. Corinne told me that. Actually, she told a whole room full of campers that. Looking at disappointment with an open mind will help you see what went wrong without judgment and see what you can level up to move forward. The without judgment piece is the most important part here, y'all. Seriously. I heard Corinne say at camp this year that disappointment can be present in an honest assessment, knowing what you can do better at or what you can level up. It's the point where it's time to examine what you're doing with honesty and integrity. Thoughts that can lead to disappointment without judgment might be, let's take a look and see what we can learn here. I'm ready to evaluate and find my level up. I see what happened. Now let's look at why. For me, none of these thoughts lead to the mental beatdown. They create a feeling that leads to productive evaluation and assessment. The mental beatdown comes with self-judgment, which is what we'll talk about next. Lisa feels disappointed because she's been slowed by an exercise injury. That's a great example. You can either feel that disappointment and figure out how to continue to lose weight without exercise or move a little bit, even though you have an injury, or you can give yourself the mental beatdown of saying, you know, my stupid body can't hold up, right? Which one is going to be more productive? Anybody have questions about disappointment? It's really, really important here to see that you can feel disappointment. You can be disappointed without beating yourself up. Okay? Self-judgment. We all judge ourselves. The problem is we never judge ourselves positively. If you have thoughts like, I'm not good enough, I'll never get this, I'm not as thin as, I hate my body, I shouldn't think that, you are like me, you are a self-judger. It shows up in our negative self-talk and in how we compare ourselves to others. You may not even know you're doing it until someone points it out to you, or you read your own thought download and see it for yourself. It's your inner critic who isn't a nice person, who takes that saying and thinks that saying mean things is motivating. It's not. Most of the time, these mean things just give us a reason to quit on ourselves. That's why it's so important to see the self-judgment thoughts and to learn from them and deal with them. So Corinne and I were podcasting a few days ago. Couple weeks ago, actually, now. And she was talking about assessing without judgment. And I think the podcast I'm talking about actually released last week. It's the one where the five questions to journal about. Okay. She was talking about writing down 20 reasons you're at the weight you are, but don't judge yourself over the reasons. And I was like, wait just a minute. I said, exactly how do you do that? how do you stop judging yourself? I even called myself a self-judger, and she nearly tore me a new one, as you can imagine. She said, I have to stop telling myself that I'm a self-judger. It leads to, guess what? Permission to sit in self-judgment, right? But I think we all do this to a certain extent. We just need to recognize it and see it. My big core judgy thought is I'm not good enough. And y'all, it shows up everywhere. If you have one core thought that you judge yourself on, it's incredible where it shows up in your life. So my I'm not good enough, I came home after talking to her, I wrote down all the places I'm not good enough in my life. And I rattled off 8 of them in about a minute and a half. I'm not a good enough wife, friend, coach, worker, grandmother. I'm not good enough at eating. I'm not a good enough example. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good enough speaker. All the things, right? So Corinne says, if you're self-judging, why do you even do that? It's your idea that it should be telling you something, but it doesn't tell you anything anymore. And she said, the reason she said that is because I've done my work on it. I know it's there. The problem is that I keep letting it take up space in my brain and I keep giving it energy. Okay? So if you're like me, you know what your judgy thought is and you let yourself go right to the toilet with it and play around. Right? So she told me that this is where I need to be. And she's right. She said, what I need to think is, I know that thought's a problem. I just don't need to solve it anymore. The whys that I think that are not important. It's that I think that, right? So it's time to move on and say, oh yeah, there's that thought. We're not going to let it land today. Here's the thing, y'all. The thoughts aren't going to go away, just like food urges. They're not going to go away either. There's no easy button to stop thinking it. And that's the problem. We think we shouldn't be thinking those thoughts. We're going to think them. We just don't want to, right? So that's the resistance. There's resistance again. And that's judgment pile on. It's judging the self-judgment thought is bad, right? I shouldn't be thinking that judgy thought. Well, I'm judging that I think the judgment thoughts. But here's the key. Just because my brain thought it, I don't have to believe it. And Corinne told me, she said, if you didn't believe that thought, it wouldn't matter if you thought it. And I said, wow. That's so true. So if you assume it's going to keep coming, you just have to work on not believing it. You just say, oh, hello, there you are. Pull up a chair, have a cup of coffee, you know, whatever. I see you. I'm just not going to let you land today. I'm not going to believe you today. So you have to do the work on creating the awareness that your judgment thoughts are just thoughts. The problem is, we feel like when we think them that we're telling the news, right? We think that's the truth, but it's not. It's our job to question all of it. Is what we're thinking really true? Challenge yourself every day to question your beliefs about yourself, to level up your thinking, and to redirect on purpose rather than sit in the dirty diaper of beating yourself up. Every day. Be open to interpretation. So how do you stop self-judgment? How do you do it, right? Because that's what I was all about. I was like, okay, I get it. Now how do I do this? So the only way to train your brain to do something different is to start doing something different. Ask yourself this. Why do you allow yourself to think that thought? Why do you allow yourself to give credit to that thought? What if you hear the thought, the I'm not good enough thought, I'll just call it I'm not good enough thought, and say, so what? When the thought comes up, say, so what? instead of just stopping it and then answer the question. Or you can write your thought down and ask yourself, is this the truth? Then answer, yes or no. And if your answer is no, then say why. And if your answer is yes, ask yourself, so what? But most importantly, allow the self-judgment thought to be there. Wishing it away or wishing you didn't think it anymore is resistance. When you resist it, you don't resolve it. Allowing the thought lets you set it aside. Allowing the thought to be there allows you to be future focused. Now, really listen to this, okay? If you allow self-judgment, discomfort, disappointment, you're thinking about your future. If you're resisting them, then you're sitting in the moment thinking about how hard it is and white knuckling. Remember, just because your brain thinks a thought, you don't have to believe it. What you do have to do is work on not believing it. Eventually, through your thought work, on allowing that thought, you'll hear it and it won't land. All right, so I did a worksheet for you. Super proud of my worksheet. I'm going to go over it here in the class, and then I'll put it in the Queen's Club website. When you call up the video, you'll see it there. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to TDL all the ways you judge yourself. You'll make a list of all the self-judgment thoughts that come up. Then you'll pick the most painful thought and list all the places in your life it shows up, just like I did. Then you take that list and you ask yourself, for each one, is that really true? Okay, so for example, when I wrote down, I'm not a good enough wife, I asked myself, is that true? And I said, well, the answer is no, because I've been married 32 years and he's still here. It's a very simple declarative statement that when I have the thought, I'm not a good enough wife, I can show myself, of course I am. I've been married 32 years and he's still here, so I am definitely good enough. Okay? When I wrote, I'm not a good enough grandmother, I asked myself, was that the truth? I said, no, it's not. The girls get so excited when they see me. Simple declarative answer to my self-judgment thought, right? For the areas you answer no, that's not true, write the one declarative statement like I did. Then you can repeat it to yourself and practice it when you think your self-judgment thought. Then for the areas where you've answered yes, you're not good enough, ask yourself, so what? Such a powerful question. And then answer it. Then ask yourself if your answer is the truth. So for all these super cool declarative statements that you come up with that counteract your self-judgment thoughts, create post-it notes and stick them everywhere, right? Put them everywhere, especially where you think those thoughts. Remember, you don't have to believe everything you think. The thoughts are going to come because your habit brain's going to send them to you. You just don't judge them. You stop fighting them, just like you stop fighting an urge, and you allow them to be there. You tell yourself, I know that thought's a problem. I just don't need to solve it anymore. And I don't have to believe it anymore. So wrapping all this up, discomfort doesn't have to be terrible. It can be an indicator that you are going in the right direction. Disappointment can be used as an opportunity to review without judgment. And self-judgment can be a habit that does not allow for forward movement unless you redirect your brain. Your thoughts are optional, y'all. Thoughts are always optional. And you don't have to believe everything you think. So that's it. if I can figure out how to get the keynote off the screen, I will take a couple people for coaching. If anybody wants to be coached on this, to find my mouse. Almost there. Oh, that's Corinne. All right. Look, I did it. Okay. So if you'd like to be coached, you can raise your hand. Let me get the chat off the screen. Call up the participants. All right. Does anybody want to be coached or have any questions about discomfort, disappointment, or self-judgment? Anything at all? If you want to be coached, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, we will call this a night. I just thought it was so interesting. One of the most interesting things, y'all, to me, and it was in this, I think we talked about it in the podcast I mentioned, was Corinne's judgment thoughts about Chris. Chris was going to cheat on her, you know, because she had all the evidence, right? She had all the evidence that people before had cheated on her, so Chris was going to, too. And finally, she reached a point where she knew the thought was coming. And after 16 years, she decided maybe it just didn't have any relevance anymore, right? I thought that's so interesting. All right. Lindsay, your hand is raised, so I'll go ahead and take you. Everything is different now. Can you say something? You might be muted.
Is it working now?
Let's see if I can unmute you. Nope, you are unmuted on my end.
I am unmuted.
I can't hear you.
Does it work now?
Yeah, see if that helps.
I just took off some headphones.
So. Hey, oh, you all can hear her and I can't. Oh, that's not cool.
Oh.
That's so strange.
I'm unmuted on here.
I'm going to pause the recording while I...
All right, we're back. Okay, I think I'm going to move because now I'm hearing people call, my children call me, which is what I talked to you about on Saturday. So it's funny. This was a perfect coaching or a perfect seminar for me to attend because it helped put into perspective what we had talked about on Saturday. So, and I did the exercise that you suggested, and it was really powerful for me. I had 12 ways that I wasn't good enough.
Oh, wow.
But then I also had 12 counters to it.
I'm curious, just so everybody knows your 12 ways, when you asked your question, is this true, were any of them true?
No. Not really, no. I mean, you know, you can always think things, but no, none of them were really true. So, and I mean, I even went so far as like, not a good enough human. Like I had these things that I was thinking. So,
That's so good. I'm so glad to hear that.
It was a really powerful exercise. So it came in an interesting time too, because, I just found out yesterday that, I am getting a promotion at work that was completely unexpected. And as soon as, as soon as this all happened, I began to have those same thoughts again, like, you know, even though I know I can do the job and do really well, at the same time, I was also saying things to myself like, you know, gosh, you know, are you sure you're gonna be able to handle it? And are you really going to be able to lead this new team and all these things? Mm-hmm. So someone suggested, a dear friend of mine said, well, maybe you should write down all the things that people have said to you in the last couple days about why you are a perfect candidate for the job.
So when you wrote those down, were they believable to you?
They are, but they embarrass me too in a way. I don't know what it sometimes it doesn't feel authentic, or it feels like I know people are being genuine because these are people that I trust, but I don't think that they're just saying things to say things, but at the same time, it makes me feel kind of embarrassed and kind of unworthy of all the comments that they're making.
Okay. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they're not your thoughts. They're their thoughts.
Yeah. So
what happens when you get external validation like that is you get that initial hit of, oh, they like me. A little bit of dopamine, a little bit of happy. But it doesn't last because it's not your thought. You don't believe that thought. Okay. So it's actually the C line of your model. You know, so-and-so said this thing about me. And then you have a thought about it that leads to unworthy and embarrassed. So that thought is not one that's like, woo, I believe them. They're 100% right. Right?
Yeah.
So in order to feel validated, to feel good about yourself, you have to have thoughts that create that feeling. Right? So someone else saying that isn't always going to create those thoughts for you. That's why creating internal validation is so important. Internally validating yourself can be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Hey, I'm a great coach. I'm a great teacher. Y'all don't know that I had a stroke right before this masterclass because I had to teach tonight, right? It wasn't because I was feeling like I was a great teacher. But that's what happens. You have to internally validate and actively believe it and practice it in order to create authentic and worthy and those feelings that, you know, lead to better results.
Even though I, in my own mind too, I do think that I'm the best choice for the job, which sort of sounds, but that makes me feel like a braggart. You know, I'm not telling people that.
But all right, just think about it. All right. The C line is the promotion at work. The
right.
The line is, let's be true and authentic here. Okay. The thought line is, I really am the best person for this job.
Mm-hmm.
What feeling does that generate for you?
It generates excitement and a feeling of pride because I am excited to really establish kind of a vision for where I see our organization going, and also having a little bit more leadership and opportunity to influence that at a different level than I've had.
So you are internally validating
yourself. Yeah.
So that's what you write down to counter those thoughts that you've got going on that mean that whatever your core belief was, I'm not good enough, or is that?
Well, and I'm also scared.
Yeah. And scared is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, people that, are scared sometimes. That's the other thing. Anytime you have a feeling, whether it's positive or negative, you always allow it. You always allow it to be there, and you understand it, that it's there. Because if you push back on it and you let it, you know, it's like pushing that beach ball under the water, right? All you have to do is move away from it a little bit. It pops back up. You know, if you just let it be there, it's the beach ball that sits on top of the water, and it's resolved, and it's there, and it's okay that it's there, right?
And I also, that whole notion of sitting with discomfort, because I'm excited, and I mean, this was very unexpected. I'm also sitting with some discomfort because I'm nervous about, you know, am I going to do a good enough job, and am I going to show people who believe in me that, you know, be a good leader. So
you answer those questions.
Yeah.
Instead of letting them run around in your head, because that's worry. Am I going to do a good enough job? Am I going to show them I was the right choice? And da da da. You know, all those unresolved questions are just going to keep popping back up. You answer them. Of course I'm going to do a good job because I'm going to do my best. I'm excited.
Yeah. And then the other thought that I had about this whole thing was, how can I possibly be going to school, working, and staying up with all my P&P work? And then I said, I took that out though, because that was sort of like that overwhelming bane. And it's like, no, you'll just do it because you're developing your habits with your PNP right now, and you have been developing them since January, and it will be okay.
Yeah, the question. Instead of letting us stew around, like, how am I going to do all this? That's why I wake up in the morning and I'm like, how am I going to get everything done?
Yeah.
Right in here, and I get my planner and I sketch it out. I sketch my whole day out and I think, okay, this is doable. I can get all this done. And most of the time, my power thought for the day is, I can get my work done.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was one other thing I was going to say related to the eating. Now I can't remember what it was, because it was something. So even if it wasn't about the job, it could be related to weight loss. And now I can't remember what I was going to say. So, but yeah, so I, after I realized that this was a reality, I found out yesterday from my boss, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to get on another call with Kathy, because now I'm freaking out. But no, it's gonna be good. And I think part of that too is just the shock of all of it, and how within a 12-hour span my lens or view changed significantly from what I thought, you know, and how I thought I was going to go into this next year, because I'm an educator, so I kind of have about 6 weeks off here, but then, you know, I'll be starting back in August. So yes. So, so I may get back on, but okay. Right now, I think I'm feeling good, and I'm going to keep doing models, and I'm doing the Queen's Club Do a Model a Day challenge. That's really been helpful. So
it's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Creating yes. The result you want.
Yes. Model. Yep. Yes. It's so powerful. I know you always share about how you're always in awe of what our minds can do for us. And it is absolutely fascinating.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
See ya. Okay, Chris, you're next. Oh, you're sideways.
How's that? Better?
Better. How are you?
I am good. Sorry, I'm coming to you from my childhood bedroom, Kathy. I am visiting my mom up in New York. So this is kind of a MacGyver setup. So thanks. It's good to see you tonight.
Good to see you. What's up?
Yeah. I popped into the Queen's class at the moment you said, and that's about it. Let's see.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to go back and listen. I have lots of road trip time this week, so I'll be listening to this in the replay. But I have been, I'm at a point of transition in my life. I'm changing jobs. I'm starting a new job on August 5th, which I'm really excited about. And I was pretty kind of dissatisfied with the old job. So I've been keeping saying to myself, I want my next chapter to look different than the last, like, professional, personal chapter of my life. And it finally occurred to me last week. I've been saying this for like 2 months, that it finally occurred to me that, holy shit, I'm talking about my future self. I want to create a different future self, you know, clue stick to the head, right? It's like the light finally went on. So, and my other part of my future self is obviously the weight bit. I'm down between 85 and 90 pounds, but I've been down between 85 and 90 pounds since September. Mm-hmm. I have been futzing around for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm 5'5", I'm about 170. I have about 20 pounds to go. Mm-hmm. So I think that's realistic from a physical standpoint, but I have been really having trouble creating this future self in both senses, in the personal, professional, and the physical. So I've been doubling down. I've been realizing on the weight side, I've been kind of futzing around and not being as clean. My constant thing that comes up is I am not good at planning and executing exceptions. I do my weigh-in on like Saturday mornings, and then I go, it's Saturday, oh, you know, and I consider, oh, when Saturday's done or Sunday is done, well, that's it. I had my exception, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like tight as a drum all week long is a lot. So I've been working on cleaning that up, but I still do feel like it's not real. So I went through the exercise, like I can't really get there. Like I can't really break this stalemate. So I went through the exercise.
A lot of thoughts about what you can't do and what you don't do. You know, what if you were to tell yourself, I don't want to think that anymore. I want to think I can plan exceptions.
Yes. So I can
responsibly on the weekends. I can plan, you know, and assess on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I can lose 20 more pounds.
I can do that. So I did the exercise where you write the big letter from your future self to your current self. Mm-hmm. And those were all the things I put mm-hmm. down. Like, you're not going to believe this, but we weigh 150 pounds and mm-hmm. here are all the things we did and all that. So I just did that exercise the other day. So I'm trying to put those actions into place. And but I am having trouble believing it. Like I wrote this big, like 3-page letter. I'm reading it every day and I'm trying to do those actions, but I must say I am having trouble believing it. And I think the thought that keeps coming in is that it just isn't possible, that I will have to be absolutely 100% perfect in order to move the needle.
Is that the truth?
No. Like intellectually, I know that is not true, but emotionally, like in my guts, I'm like, yeah, you can never have a beer again. You can never. Well, you can have a beer again if you want to pay for it for 6 days of water retention. Yes, you can have a beer.
Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true.
I know.
Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to believe it either. Because that's your primal brain saying, hey, look, we like 170. We can do whatever we want here.
Yeah.
We are doing whatever we want. Why do we want to sit in discomfort? Well, the reason you want to sit in discomfort and say no to the beer and eat your exception to your two is because you have a goal in mind. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that discomfort keeps you future focused. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. I'm sitting here hungry right now. Right? I'm dining in.
Oh, yes. I forget who said that, if that was you or Corinne, in one of the things last week. And I'm like, yeah, I finally figured out that's dining in. Eating mm-hmm. from the refrigerator is my body dining out.
Right. And it's because my gift of fat gift, Corinne, was my afternoon snacks. You know, I'm not a nighttime eater. So last week's challenge of, you know, eating after dinner, that's a no-brainer for me. Okay. But eating a snack at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon is a big deal, right? I get hungry. Okay. But doing that, making that effort has helped me see, is it real hunger? Do I really need to be planning a snack? Or is it, I'm a little tired, it's the lull of the afternoon, I want a snack hunger, mm-hmm. right? So that's what you need to start doing, is questioning everything about your plan, everything about your hunger scale, everything about your snacking, everything about your exception. Right. Start questioning whether or not you're telling yourself the truth in all those areas.
Right.
That's where it becomes a little uncomfortable, because you want to say, I'm doing everything. I'm doing it all. But what if you're not?
Oh, yeah. I'm clearly not, because I'm not where I want to be.
Well, you're doing everything you need to do to maintain 170.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. If that's not the goal, then you have to start questioning everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where it becomes a little uncomfortable, but you use that discomfort to propel you toward your goal.
Right.
I just love that thought. I mean, I just get so jazzed up when I think about how discomfort can actually be a good thing.
I just wrote that down. Discomfort keeps us future focused. That is good. Yes. That's going to be a power thought. And the other thing that I'm really working on this month and this summer, because July is kind of my big, like I said, I'm going back August 5th. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of months off where I've just been like hunting right. for a new job. And now I feel like I've got a few weeks before it starts. Like I'm taking this month to really focus on. One of the big things for me is integrity. Is I have never been great at follow through. I say I'm going to do A and B and C, and if I get A and half of B done, that's amazing. You know what I mean? I've never been good on follow through. I say I'm going
to
do.
How you talk to yourself? I've never been great at follow through. That just gives you permission to not follow through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm practicing my follow through.
I know. I'm practicing. Think about it. You said the same thing about everything. You said the same thing about exceptions. I never eat my exceptions, you know, to my tooth or whatever it was you said. I mean, it's just like you're telling yourself the news. It's like you're telling yourself the facts of the world. Mm-hmm. Well, I bet there's things you follow through on all the time. You're just not recognizing those. You're only seeing the mistakes. You're only seeing the things that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I know you didn't hear it, but discomfort. We hate it when it comes to food, but we experience it all the time. Okay. You know, you might not be comfortable being on a Zoom call with 80 people here and people who are going to listen. That's discomfort. Mm-hmm. You might have sat in traffic on your way to your mom's house. That's discomfort. So we tell ourselves these absolute things that just aren't true sometimes. So watch that. You need to watch that because it's very interesting to hear you talk about yourself in these very absolute terms that probably aren't true.
Yeah. You know, they're like partially true, like the integrity thing and the follow through. Like I'm not a total shit show, but I realize that. But I also realize, wow, that is an area of improvement. I would love to be one of those people who, if they say it, it's as good as gold.
You can be.
Yeah.
You can be.
I'm working on it.
How about say I am that person?
Yeah, that's going to require.
Self is definitely that person.
My future self is that person.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what do you have to do to create that person in your future self?
You have to start doing
those things, right?
What was that?
You have to start following up. You become that person because you start the actions that it takes to be that person.
And I have to say, I have started to put my, you know, do the same thing with my personal life and professional life that I've done with the food, with, you know, start where you're at, you know, like set the goals for the day kind of low. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you will reach them and it's easy to reach them and then you can give the little pat on the back. So I'm transferring things obviously from the, you know, the dieting, eating side of things to mm-hmm. other areas of my future self. So, awesome. But really, truly in my bones, getting to a belief where, yes, I will be 150 pounds by the end of this year. It feels like a mental stretch. I know I just have to keep practicing it. Like I've made my commitment that I'm going to read my little letter to myself mm-hmm. on a daily basis. But can you suggest anything else to help that along?
Yes. So you know the model, right?
Yes. Love okay. a model. Yep.
What comes right before your result line? You want it to be weigh 150 pounds by the end of the year.
Yes.
What's right above the result line? What creates the result?
The actions of my future self.
No, the actions of today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Blow out that action line. Every single thing you need to do to create that result mm-hmm. and start doing them.
Yep.
Now what will happen there is you'll do those actions and let's say it's create a plan, sit in discomfort,
right?
Eat my exceptions to a two, sit in that discomfort, drink 80 ounces of water before I have a beer and 20 ounces after, sit in that discomfort, whatever it is, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you start seeing the results happen. Mm-hmm. Then that makes your thought in the model more believable.
Right. Okay.
Generate the feeling. So it's like starting the model at the action line.
At the bottom.
Doing those things, creating that result makes the thought, I can be 150 pounds and maintain it, more believable.
Easier to grasp. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right.
Good. Yep. I've got a lot of good actions I'm doing this month, so I'm feeling good about it. So.
Cool.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Right. You be well.
See ya. Lisa, let's talk to you. I don't know how late you guys want to go here. We'll take a couple more.
Am I there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, my. Well, I'm a little nervous right now. This is the first time I've done this, and I've been a member for 11 months.
Oh. How are you? So,
well, I'm doing very well right now, thanks to the Urges and Buffering workshop. So I'm actually at Bible school waiting for all the kids to come back because I'm doing all of this stuff. Uh-huh. So if you could see that. And I thought, well, this is a good time because I don't have time to talk very long. And I'm just a blubbering mess right at the moment.
But what's on your mind?
Really, the Urges and Bufferings workshop, I set aside weight loss for a year and just started losing weight again. In fact, gained. And probably about 8 weeks ago or so, I started losing weight again. And this Urges and Bufferings workshop has just been so amazing because all the things that I'd been working on fell into place. Mm-hmm. And all at once, it's clicking. And I know that's not supposed to be the way it works, but that's the way it's working for me. And like, I lost 2 pounds yesterday. So I'm looking forward to getting on the scale in the mornings right now. And that to me is a totally new experience for my whole life.
What are you doing different? And
it's about the thought processes. It's about sitting in discomfort, mm-hmm. but it's about the self-judgment more than anything, I think. That's been a big deal all my life and expecting perfection from myself. And it being okay to mess up. And learning how to mess up without self-judging has been the biggest thing through this whole PMP experience for me, I think. And it's just changing my life.
Yeah. It's so funny. What you learn in one area of weight loss kind of blossoms into all the other areas of your life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And
you start seeing it everywhere.
But I heard on that Urges and Bufferings, I heard Corinne give somebody permission to put off or stall the weight loss. And I thought, oh gosh, that was just telling me that what I'd been doing was the right thing. And I was just so encouraged by that. But it's just all been, I'm not going to say this whole PMP thing's been a good time because it's been a lot of work, but the work is not about the diet. It's not about the losing weight. It's actually about getting rid of diet mentality.
Yep.
And I've been good at that since I was a little kid.
Exactly.
I bet I've lost 800 pounds in my life. The problem is it's the same 800 pounds.
You and me both.
Well, my people are starting to come in, Kathy. Thank you for letting me break the ice on the coaching tonight, but I'm going to have to get off of here because they're starting to come into the sanctuary and I'm going to have to put the music on.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Wanda. My friend Wanda. Okay, Wanda, I can't see you. Did you mean to have your hand raised?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's see. Okay. I just sent you a... There you are.
Okay.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I wanted to speak on the disappointment because I feel like I disappoint myself every day.
Okay.
You know, when I don't follow through on most things I say I'm going to do, mm-hmm. and it disappoints me. And so much so that a lot of times I just like don't make a list or don't write things down, you know, because I, you know more than likely I'm probably not going to follow through.
Okay. So what do you tell yourself when you say, well, I didn't follow through today? What do you tell yourself?
All kinds of excuses. And it's mostly like, well, it's on multiple things, but like the exercise, you know, mm-hmm. Like last week, you know, I tell myself, I start out in the morning, say I'm going to do, you know, this or that, you know, go to the gym. And then I'll say, well, I'm going to go later. And then, you know, as the time go by, and then I just don't go, you know, mm-hmm. and then really it's no excuse because like for the most part, my gym is open almost 24/7. But and then I say, okay, well, I'm gonna do something in the house, And I know that most times that's not a reality. You know, I don't follow through.
Okay. So when you, when you're getting ready for bed at night and you think, well, I didn't exercise again today, what do you tell yourself?
All the negative stuff. And that mm-hmm. was another thing I have in my head. Like, you know, I believe all of the negative thoughts and I don't believe the positive thoughts, you know, right. that I tell myself.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we do. So what you've done is let disappointment just move straight on into self-judgment. Pack right. up, and hang out there, right?
Yeah.
And self-judgment, you know, you're never, self-judgment doesn't say, hey, Wanda, you're beautiful today. It says, Wanda, you know, right. you didn't exercise again today. What were you thinking? You know, it just goes on and on, right?
It's right.
toilet.
And then when I don't get the results, you know, that I want, then I'm mm-hmm. like, well, there you go. That's right. why you don't, you know, you haven't gotten the results because you didn't follow through.
Well, self-judgment, the mental beatdown will never produce a positive result. Never. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as long as you sit in self-judgment and calling yourself whatever names you call yourself, because you didn't do what you said you were going to do, it's not going to create something positive for you. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that you're disappointed, that you wish things had gone differently. You wish you had gone and gotten your exercise or eaten on plan or whatever it is. And then move into, how can I change that for tomorrow?
Okay.
And you just put up a wall, an emotional wall between disappointment and self-judgment.
Right.
Okay. Because if you move on into self-judgment, you're just done.
Right.
It's like falling into the pit of the abyss and you have to climb back out to get yourself right. motivated again.
Yeah.
Disappointment is standing on the edge of the pit of the abyss and deciding what you're going to do. Am I going to jump in or am I going to use the information I have about today and create tomorrow, try something new tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So let's say you looked at all the excuses you had for not going to the gym. It was hot outside. I was tired. I had something else to do. You take those excuses, those reasons, and you figure out if they were the truth and whether or not you can work your day tomorrow around eliminating the potential for those excuses. Okay. You can't do anything about it being hot outside, but you're going swimming.
Right.
So you can tell yourself, all right, it was hot. I didn't want to get, but I'm going swimming.
You know, the funny thing is, like, it's hot as hell in my house because my air conditioner is out. It's been out since it's like about 90 degrees in here. And it's like, you know, when I told my trainer that Monday, because I was, he'd been gone a week. And so it was up to me to get myself to the gym last week. No excuses, but I didn't make it there all last week while he was gone. And then he got back Monday. But we didn't have a coaching, we didn't have a training session Monday. We had a training session mm-hmm. Tuesday. So I got to the gym Tuesday mm-hmm. only because of the external factor of, you know, the appointment with him. But the problem where I disappoint myself is that I don't follow through when I have just an appointment with myself, you know,
right.
get myself there.
Right.
But, you know, he was like Monday, he was like, go swimming. Cause you know, you know, it's hot in your house, go to the gym and go swimming. But I didn't do it.
Well, self-accountability is something that's learned. When you don't have it quite yet, that's when you call on your friends in the tribe mm-hmm. to get you on that Marco Polo and go, yo, Wanda, it's hot in your house. Get yourself over to the gym and have a swim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you practice self-accountability. You work on it. You try it out. You figure out what works for you. What, you know, self-accountability comes from a thought. Mm-hmm. Right? If you don't think you're worth the effort to get yourself to the gym, guess what? You're not going to get yourself to the gym.
Right.
If you have a thought, not only is it hot in this house, but I really want to work on my goal. I think I'm going to go to the gym. Then you become worth the effort.
Okay.
Right.
But all right.
You separate that disappointment. Disappointment is not a bad thing to feel unless you jump into the abyss of self-judgment.
Okay.
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 We use disappointment as an opportunity to assess and level up.
Okay. All right. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
You going to the gym tomorrow?
I am. Well, see, this is what I do, but I'm going to follow through. I already have an appointment with my personal trainer tomorrow night. But they have the master swim class tomorrow morning at 5:15. So I put it on my calendar, and this is what I usually do. I put it on my calendar to attend, but then a lot of times I put stuff on the calendar and I don't follow through. But I'm gonna go tomorrow morning. So I
have an agreement with yourself.
Yes.
That anything that goes on that calendar is a done deal.
Okay.
So before you don't just throw a bunch of crap on the calendar and not commit to it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
If you get it on the calendar, it's a done deal.
Okay.
Think about it. Am I really committed to doing this? Yes, it's going on the calendar. No, why not?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I can do that.
Take care. All right, one more. Angela. There you are. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I had headphones in, so I wasn't sure because headphones seem to not be working tonight.
Well, I don't know what's going on with mine. Are kind of old, and they're really kind of funky looking, so they might be on their last legs. You might need to. So what's up with you?
I am coming to you with, I am with self-judgment. Mm-hmm. I am crowning myself the queen of negative self-judgment.
Oh, that feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I can't seem to, it's like, you know, you say, well, you know, you just write these things out and then believe it's not true and just say, well, that's not true. Or, but I believe that they're true. And I don't know how to let go of those.
Okay. So give me an example.
I wasn't a good enough mom to my girls when they were growing up.
All right. You believe that's true.
I'm not a good enough wife.
All right. Now let's just,
let's stick with
all right. I'm not a good enough mom. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you say that's true.
Yes. Yeah.
So what?
I ruined their lives.
Did you?
You know?
Did you ruin their lives? Is that the truth?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't set them up for as well as they could have been set up for.
Their lives.
You know?
Think about it. All right. Let's say I have how many daughters? Two, three?
Three.
Three daughters. And my daughters' lives mirror your daughters' lives. Same lives. Okay. Same place they are right now in this moment today. Married, college, everywhere they are. Would you look at me and say, man, Kathy, you ruined your daughters' lives?
But I do have people telling me that, but I would never say that because that's not.
Would you tell me that? No. You say that.
No, because I'm not that.
You say that like you're telling the news, right? I ruined my daughter's lives. They're just ruined.
Yeah.
Of course, I know one of them's
Happily
married. One of them.
Yeah, one's married.
One's in college, right?
Uh-huh.
Where's the other one?
One just come back from India as a missionary.
Right.
And one is in college, but I don't think she's going to go back because she's in an abusive relationship.
Okay. Is she happy in that relationship? By and large?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is her life ruined? I mean, when I see somebody's life is ruined, they're either dead on the sidewalk in the gutter somewhere, or they're in jail. That's somebody whose life is ruined in my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is her life really ruined? And did you ruin it?
I
you were breaking up.
I just think I didn't help her like I could have when she was younger. I mean, she's been in the hospital twice for suicide attempts.
What of that can you change?
You know,
what of that can you affect today?
Today I can affect nothing because she moved out of my house.
Right. So what point is there to continuing to think that thought? What is the benefit to continuing to think that thought? What is it going to fix for you?
I feel like I deserve it. Like I should feel negative. Like I own that with, you know, like.
So you feel like I should
have
with this thought because she's made choices as an adult.
Correct. Because if I would have raised her better, she would not be making bad choices.
And this is the thought you think everyone should think. You think everyone should act this way? Is this the right way to act and think and treat yourself?
No.
No. If it's not, if you can't, here's the thing. We're always going to be harder on ourselves than we're going to be on someone else. That's because we cultivate compassion for other people and we don't think about cultivating compassion for ourselves. That's why we step so deeply into self-judgment. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can be disappointed that your daughter is in this relationship. You can be disappointed in the things that happened to lead her to that relationship all day long. But when you start taking ownership for everything that's gone wrong in her life, when she's an adult and she has made these decisions on her own, that's where the self-judgment comes in and the mental beatdown. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed because disappointment allows you to assess and evaluate and make changes and update and think about in a productive way. You sitting in the self-judgment is not productive. It doesn't help you and it doesn't help her. And I think at the heart of all this, you want to be productive in how you show up for her. Even if it's only to let her know that you're there. That's it. That's all you can really do, and to tell her you love her. That's so much more productive than I ruined your life.
Yeah. It's just that I just feel like I'm a failure in every aspect of my life. You know, parenting, work, and I'm trying to get out and make friends for the first time in my life because I've never had friends, and I'm failing at that. And so I'm just
your homework.
I am failing. I am finding every piece of evidence I can to show that I'm not a good person.
Okay.
And I can't
judgment worksheet that I created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a lot of work for you because you failed in a lot of areas of your life. I came up with 8. Lindsay came up with 12. I bet you're going to beat us, aren't you?
I could probably come up with 20 easy.
Uh-huh. All right.
I just can't.
For these areas,
I know I want to get out of the cycle. I know I want to get out of the cycle. Mm-hmm. I've been in this loop for so long of proving the negativity that when I try to say, now, Angela, that's a thought. And I'm like, God, Angela, you can't even think right. I mean, it's like that quick. Mm-hmm. Like if I try to say, that's just a thought, and I don't think like that anymore, I will immediately turn around and say, God, Angela, you can't even think right.
Mm-hmm.
You screwed that up too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep this is.
Then what do you say to that?
Yeah, suck.
Mm-hmm.
you're right. And then I'm like, yeah, I suck. Yeah. Yeah, I suck. I suck hard.
Okay. Is that what you want to believe about yourself?
I don't know how else to believe anything else.
I didn't ask you that.
Is that what I want to believe? It's familiar, so it's almost a yes.
Well, then what's the problem? If you want to believe you suck and you fail at life, and that's the space you want to live in, what's the problem?
Because at the same time, I don't want to change.
You don't want to believe that. So stop telling yourself to do.
Yeah.
That's step one. Stop telling yourself that. You would not have come
to change.
You would not be on coaching calls. You would not be asking for help. You would not be doing any of those things if that's the place you wanted to live in. And that's that you can believe. That's the evidence that you have started accumulating for yourself.
Yeah.
We will talk some more about this.
I just wanted to help other people, you know, and show that, you know.
So tell me
all.
So what about this is helping other people? Tell me what, if you could leave this Queen's Club call with something that helped everyone else about self-judgment, what would that be?
Don't be an Angela.
No. Try something else.
Yeah. Keep fighting. Keep trying. Mm-hmm. Don't give up.
Don't give up. Yep.
Don't give up. Because I'm not giving up.
Keep working. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You're super frozen up on me. But we'll talk soon.
Did I? Sorry.
You keep coming.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. All right, everybody. That is it for discomfort, disappointment, and self-judgment. Let me check this Q&A real quick. Is it the resistance that makes the difference between discomfort and white knuckling? Yes. Discomfort is the feeling, Cindy. You get to choose whether you resist the feeling, and that's white knuckling, or whether you allow the feeling, and that's just sitting with it and letting it be there. Okay? All right, you guys. Have a... let's see. Wait a second, Soma. Hang on. I just saw... Will the worksheet be under files in the PMP Facebook page? I'm going to post the worksheet. When Sadie posts the replay, I'll post the worksheet on the replay page. But if you'd like, I'll also put it in the Facebook group, and you can access it there. And if you have any questions about it or anything, you know, if you look at it and say, you know, have any questions, just, you know, holler at me. All right. You guys have a great evening. Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.